Co.uk.
Waking you up on Sunday. Rob McLaughlin, City Talk 105.9.
A Sunday morning radio. This is Rob McLaughlin. Welcome back to the programme. Now on Friday, David Cameron, always keen, of course, to spot an opportunity, called on Gordon Brown to hold an immediate general election. I suspect somehow he won't. But if the SNP's stunning victory on Friday in Glasgow East wasn't enough bad news for the Prime Minister, there was some more disturbing news on the economy. The economy grew by just 0.2% in the second quarter of 2008. That's almost undetectable. Economists now expect weaker growth throughout the rest of 2008. It's raising fears, of course, that the credit crunch and oil prices will drive us into a full-blown recession. We almost hit the rocks a few years ago, you remember, but then consumer spending kept the economy growing. This time, that option looks unlikely. Well, last week on this programme, Vince Cable of the Liberal Democrats called upon Gordon Brown, surprisingly, not to sack Chancellor Alistair Darling in any cabinet reshuffle. That, he said, would be scapegoating and not good for the economy right now. Well, this week we thought we'd hear what the Conservatives have to say. And I'm delighted to say that joining me on the line is the Shadow Chief Secretary of the Treasury, Philip Hammond. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning.
Do you agree with Vince Cable?
Well, I think the point that Vince Cable was making on your show last week was that the problems we're now facing are of Gordon Brown's making, and it's no point Gordon Brown thinking that he can shift the blame onto Alistair Darling and then dump him. David Cameron, as you just said there, has called for a general election. Let's get rid of Gordon Brown. Let him test his popularity with the British people and not try to make a scapegoat out of Alistair Darling or any other hapless member of his cabinet.
Do you think your party would be strong enough to deal with the current economic conditions that we're facing?
Well, let's be clear. There is no magic wand. There's no sort of secret potion that can instantly recover us from the position that we're in. It's taken quite a while to dig us into this hole. Gordon Brown's been digging for a number of years, and it will take a while to dig us out. There's two aspects to this. We've got to, first of all, be clear about our long-term objectives in making sure that we never get into this mess again, so that at the end of the next period of sustained growth, we don't find that there's nothing in the government's cupboard and it's completely unprepared for the difficult times. But we've also got to do some short-term things, because people are really feeling the pain and they look to the government to provide some help and some relief. And all we're hearing from Gordon Brown is his plans for yet more taxation.
If you come into power, though, are you ruling out the possibility that taxes may have to rise? I mean, your leader seemed not to be ruling it out last weekend.
Well, we've always said that we will put the stability of the public finances at the heart of what we do. That's the absolutely essential precondition for having a stable economy and thus the ability to grow sustainably.
Does that mean taxes could rise, Philip?
Medium term. Well, we're hoping, we're committed over the economic cycle to reducing the share of government spending in our national income and thus being able to reduce the share of taxes. But what I can't do is put my hand on my heart and say to you that in the first 3 years or 4 years of a Conservative government, we will be able to do that, because we don't know yet the scale of the mess that we are going to inherit from Labour. If they carry on as they've done in the first quarter of this year, they may borrow as much as £100 billion this year alone.
Well, those are the options, aren't they? It's either borrowing or increasing taxation or indeed cutting back. What you're saying clearly this morning, Philip, is that tax rises are a possibility. You're not ruling them out, you're not ruling them in. It's a possibility.
Well, it would be irresponsible to rule anything out when we don't know the scale of the mess that we're going to inherit. We simply don't know what the state of the public finances will be. But our clear stated objective over the economic cycle is to reduce government spending as a share of GDP and thus enable us to make sustainable tax cuts. That remains the Conservative objective. But of course, we will have to deal in the short term with the problems that we inherit from this Labour government.
Well, let's talk about some more specifics, because again on this programme last week, Vince Cable put forward the idea that even right now, at the point that we're in with the economy at the moment, the Liberal Democrats would try to tax the rich even further. Now, he didn't actually describe what he means by rich, but we know in the past the Liberal Democrats have talked about anybody who's possibly earning over 100,000. Would you do that? Would you hit the rich? Would you hit the super rich?
Now, what Britain needs is less tax, not more tax. And I can answer the question about what Vince Cable calls the rich. One of his key proposals is to remove higher rate tax relief on pension contributions. So anybody who's paying higher rate tax, that is anybody earning from the high 30s upwards, would be hit by this proposal. That's middle ranking police officers, nursing sisters, deputy heads in schools. It's people in perfectly ordinary middle-ranking jobs. That's not the way to repair the problems in our economy. We have to address the waste and inefficiency that there is in the government system. We have to, over time, reduce the share of government spending in our national income so that we can provide sustainable tax cuts. The last thing Britain needs is tax increases.
Well, when you say tax cuts, that is always the fear about Conservative policies in many people's minds, because when you talk about tax cuts and reducing national expenditure, people say straight away, you are going to hit the National Health Service, you are going to hit welfare claimants, you're going to hit the most vulnerable in society.
Absolutely not. We've made it very clear that the National Health Service is our first priority. What we're talking about here is not reducing in absolute terms the spending on our public services, or even reducing them in real terms. They will continue to grow in real terms. But as the economy grows, we have to ensure that the government doesn't gobble up the whole of the growth in the economy, which is
what's happened
over the last 3 or 4 years.
But can you protect the NHS? Because let's face it, Labour have trebled over the last few years. They've trebled expenditure on the NHS. Are we really...
And how many of your listeners think that the NHS is now three times better than it was before they started that? The point is, they've poured money into unreformed public services. What we have to do is reform the way our public services work so that they can deliver effectively the need that people have at the point of need. And we have to support them with the appropriate resources. That will mean real terms increases in spending in order to protect those services and invest in them. But it does not mean what Gordon Brown's done over the last few years, which is simply letting rip with spending, taking up the whole of the product of the growth in our national economy.
Well,
so
Philip,
there's nothing left for families and individuals, and pouring it into unreformed services. So we're not getting good value for money for the taxpayers' money that's invested.
Well, let me invite you to spell it out, because of course your opponents say all the time that, you know, that David Cameron, the Conservative Party, is good at presentation but slightly weak on actually spelling out the policies. So spell it out to me this morning. Where would you cut? Where would those cuts come from?
We've set out in a number of areas. Let's take welfare. You mentioned welfare. We've set out proposals for using the private and voluntary sector to get people off welfare and back into work. We set those proposals out in a green paper back in January. In the last week or two, the government have announced that they're going to go down exactly that route, stealing our clothes yet again. It is by reforming the way we deliver our essential public services to make them more effective and more efficient, to get good value for money, for the taxpayers' money. That is the key to making our public services sustainable in the long term.
So we don't only
have them now, but we have them for our children and our children's children as well.
So I go back to the question I asked earlier. You will hit some of the most vulnerable people in society.
We don't hit them at all. The proposals on welfare, for example, are designed to support people to get the skills and the help that they need to get themselves back into the workplace. People who are on welfare, by and large, and I spent 18 months as the shadow work and pension spokesman, by and large, they do not want to be on welfare. They're not on welfare because they want to be. They're on welfare because they've been dumped there, and very often people on long-term incapacity benefit, for example, who could work, who would like to work, have simply not had the support, the ability to gain the skills they'll need to get themselves back into the workplace. And there's plenty of evidence from around the world that private and voluntary sector organisations, properly supported by the government with funding that comes on success, can do this job more effectively than government agencies can.
But if they refuse to work or refuse to give to do the work that's put in front of them, you will take away their benefits.
Well, we've made it very clear that there will not be an option for able-bodied people people simply to choose a lifestyle of living on benefits. They will have to engage with the process of retraining and reskilling to get back into the workplace.
Well, let's be honest about this. What you're really saying to me this morning, then, is that the most vulnerable could be affected, but you're not prepared to tax the super rich because there's too much taxation. I mean, in many ways, people come back and say, this is the same old Tory story.
Well, it's interesting that I've talked about people who are able-bodied, who could work, but who choose not to, and you've described them as the most vulnerable. I don't think most people would regard that group as the most vulnerable. They are people that need the help and support to get the skills they need, but they also need encouragement. There's a bit of carrot and a bit of stick to help people get back into the workplace, off welfare, engaged in the workplace, so that they can share in the nation's prosperity and also help to contribute to it. So it's not about attacking the most vulnerable. Absolutely not. We've made it very clear we will support fully people who have genuine vulnerabilities and who need that support, but we have to make our welfare system work properly. And incidentally, the government has stolen almost wholesale this programme that we put forward in our Green Paper in January and is proposing to implement it anyway.
Philip, I've got to bring this to a close in a couple of minutes, but I'd like to get your view on two subjects in particular. First of all, the cost of oil, which of course is at the moment crippling in many ways the economy. It is affecting people in many real ways. It is driving up the price of food, etc., etc. It's a difficult one because it's not in the control of a British government largely, but what in these current circumstances do you think this government should be doing?
Well, of course, the first thing to say is that we don't know where the oil price is going to be in 6 months or a year's time. At the moment, it is imposing some real strain on the economy. What we've proposed that the government should do immediately is introduce a fair fuel regulator so that as the price of oil goes up and the government gets a windfall gain from North Sea taxation, so they would use part of that windfall to reduce the duty at the pumps so that the price at the pump doesn't rise as fast as it otherwise would. We think that's a sensible intervention to make to mitigate, to reduce to a certain extent the impact that high oil prices are having. And if they'd introduced that measure back at the budget just 4 months ago, prices at the pumps would be about 5 pence a litre less now. Not a huge amount, but every little helps, as they say.
It does indeed. And finally, you talked about, not Alistair Darling going, but you talked about, as your leader said on Friday, Gordon Brown going. What's your impression at the moment from looking at the statistics that you have available to you? Do you think it's going to get worse before it gets better in terms of the economy?
I'm afraid most of the experts do think that it's going to get worse before it gets better. There have been some statistics published recently suggesting that unemployment will start to rise during the summer and into the autumn. And of course, if unemployment does start rising, if those projections are correct, then that has an effect on consumer spending, and in turn it has an effect on the businesses that are supplying the services and the goods that consumers would otherwise be buying. So I'm afraid I think we've still got quite some difficulty in the domestic economy still to deal with. And of course, if there are further bank failures in the US or another massive surge in the oil price, then that would put still further pressure on the economy. But the real problem is that we've had 15, 16 years of continuous economic growth, an unprecedentedly strong period that started back in 1992 and has continued until last year. At the end of that period, you'd expect us to have something put by for a rainy day. But the truth is, as it's now emerging, is that the government is absolutely broke, it's got nothing put by, and it's when it should be helping families and businesses through the difficult times, its only solution is to propose yet more taxes.
Philip, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and perhaps after the summer break we'll catch up with you in the autumn and get your take on how circumstances are then.
I'd be happy to do that.
But as forever, for Dave, Philip, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Philip Hammond, the Shadow Chief Secretary to the Treasury. You're listening to City Talk 105.9. Let's catch up with the latest global and local